As I said, not only when I was praying, but when I talked a couple moments ago, I wasn't able to finish what I started last week, which is kind of a rare thing, but that's okay. So we're going to come back, and we're going to pick up where we left off last time and finish the message. That's the plan. I think we'll make it. And so I want to go back and review just very briefly a couple of things that we've talked about already, things we learned about already. I didn't finish in the second service where I finished in the first service last week. So some of it is going to be of significant overlap for us in this first service. And next hour is going to be not so much. So anyway, just kind of hang in there and be patient. And repetition is the key to learning, right? So we're going to repeat a little bit here. The point is this, that how the growth and the development of a physical newborn parallels the growth and development of someone who is born anew spiritually, a spiritual baby or a Christian baby. There are things that physical babies need to thrive, and there are things that spiritual babies need to thrive as well. When I talk about a spiritual baby, that's not a derogatory term at all. It's just a statement of fact. And, you know, Jesus said, if you're not born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. And the scriptures talk about new birth and a second birth. Our physical birth is our first birth. Our spiritual birth is our second birth. And so that's where all of us start out. If you're my Facebook friend, or if you're not, you can be. I posted on my Facebook post this week a story, my story about how I came to know Christ was published in the Billy Graham Decision magazine several years ago. And I put that up again on the Facebook page. For some reason, I was thinking about it, and I thought, I'm just going to put that up there. So you can read about how I came to Christ, and my spiritual delivery room is the kingdom. Now, some of you don't know what the kingdom is. It's where the Seahawks used to play. It's a building that's long gone, and we're still paying for it. It's welcome to King County, right? Yeah, that's about as political as I'm going to get this morning. But the point is this. Babies need help to grow, to mature, to become strong. They start out independent, and then they become interdependent, and then they are self-dependent. So the same thing is true spiritually. However, the interdependence remains. When somebody comes into the family of God, they don't know the difference between an epistle and an apostle. You know, and there's just so much that they need to learn spiritually to begin to grow. And we want to help new Christians. We want to help all Christians grow spiritually. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. All of us are. So we want to start at the very beginning, where a baby Christian begins and what a baby Christian needs. So here's the first thing we looked at last time. New Christians need a bath. And the way that we talked about that was baptism. Understanding that baptism does not wash away your sins. It doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't bring you into the family of God. That's what the scriptures teach. But it is it's a way of publicly showing that Christ has already forgiven me. Christ has already washed away my sins. Christ has already made me a new person. And when a person who is baptized goes down into the water and comes up out of the water, it's a picture of their identification with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the scripture says this. This is the first Christian sermon, New Testament sermon, ever preached after Christ ascended into heaven. Peter said this, repent, which means turn to God, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Turning to God or repenting is an active verb. It's something that you're responsible to do. And then the idea of being baptized comes afterwards, and it's something somebody helps you with. So it's like it's a middle voice instead of the active voice. And so you are responsible to repent. And when you do, we will help you with baptism. That's the idea here. So if you have not been baptized, I mentioned this last week, I want to mention it again. We encourage you to be baptized. It's a great way to show other people your relationship with Jesus Christ, that you identify with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Now we're going to do baptisms at the block party. There's going to be a platform up here, and it's a Western theme, so we're going to have a horse trough, a big watering trough. And we're going to do the baptisms on the platform. And so we're going to do baptisms during the block party to show our neighbors This is how people identify with Jesus, according to what the scriptures teach. Be in prayer about this. I've already talked to a couple of people who are interested in being baptized. We also want to give people an opportunity who say yes to the gospel at the block party to be baptized at the block party right away. That's the biblical way that they did it. As soon as they believed, they were baptized. And so we're going to give people, they don't even know yet about the block party, but once they hear about it, once they come, there are some, I believe, that don't know that that's where they're going to meet Christ. Their spiritual delivery room is going to be our parking lot. They don't know that yet. God knows. We don't. But we're expecting it. We're going to be ready for that. So please be praying about that. Great way to show your faith to our neighbors, to your family, to your friends. So if you want to be baptized, take a blue card. Just write baptism on there. Give me your contact information. And we'll get together and make sure you're on the schedule to be baptized. Number two, new Christians need a bottle. Peter, the man that wrote, that preached that sermon I just quoted, he wrote this, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into your salvation. And newborns need nutrition. They need food, but their system isn't developed enough to handle anything other than milk or formula or whatever. And then you graduate to the mashed bananas and the we call them meat sticks, whatever they were, those little things that kids, it's not Vienna sausage. Vienna sausage, not the Smoky Joes. Stay away from those. And then they can get into like other things and then different kinds of food. So new Christians need a spiritual diet that is suitable to where they're at spiritually. I mentioned last week that the plan is to create a new Sunday school class for the Sunday after Easter, designed to give basic milk, simple instruction about the Bible, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, salvation, the church, how to share your faith, how to pray, what's going to happen in the future, these basic ideas that Christians need, new Christians need to understand to build a foundation for their life. And I'm looking for two couples to teach this class. If you're interested in learning more about the class, take out a blue card, just put class on there, give me your contact information. Another option is this, and I'm considering this as well. I'll teach it as a small group Bible study on one of the nights during the week, and if you're interested in learning how to teach that material, join me for that class. I'll teach through it, show you how to teach it, and then you can teach it from that point on. So there's options. Anyway, the point is this. New Christians need milk, and we need to feed them. We need to help them to grow by feeding them an appropriate spiritual diet. And we want to have that in place. Number three, new Christians need diapers. They need diapers. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The point is this, that raising little ones is messy. And sometimes accidents happen. And people who are older than infants are responsible to help clean up that mess and get that child back to the condition in which he was or she was supposed to be. Now, I have a twin brother, and I am told that my brother and I tried to help each other with diapers a couple of times when we were just little bitty ones. That's the rumor that I heard. I haven't seen photos. I haven't seen video, so it's just a rumor at this point. How is that true? Is that fact? My father says it's a fact that my brother instigated this problem that we, is that the fact? He doesn't know. Okay, I have photos. I have evidence. I don't. Anyway, the point is this. It's not easy to raise spiritual Christians either. And older, more mature Christians, we all make mistakes. We all fail. We all fall short. And we need help and support and encouragement from one another. I mean, and if you love your child or your grandchild, or your niece, your nephew, or the little ones here in the nursery, you don't just let them sit in messy diapers. And the same thing with sin. When a Christian has sinned or is in sin, we're not just going to let him sit there. We're going to help clean him up. And that's a part of what we need to do. It's what the Christians of all levels need from us. And that's not always a pleasant experience. Sometimes it's very painful. Sometimes it's emotionally difficult. The Apostle Paul had those kinds of experiences in the scriptures. We read in Acts chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he'd spent some time in Asia Minor. He was in the city of Ephesus, and he was leaving. And he is warning the leaders in the church about future problems that are going to come. Here's more diapers that need to be cleaned. And he's reflecting on the diapers that he has changed. He says, from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. As Paul was watching, the Apostle Paul was watching what was happening not only in the church, but in the community, it broke his heart. Sin is messy. It takes you farther than you're willing to go. It costs you more than you're willing to pay, and it costs other people more than what they want to pay, and takes them places where they don't want to go. Sin is messy, but we have to deal with it. And the Apostle Paul is saying, you saw my example of how I handled things here. And I'm passing the baby wipes, so to speak, to you. And continue on, because it's going to be messy. So we all need to help in this way. He says here that he admonished each one with tears. Admonish means to guide with a firm warning. It's going to be messy. So when Paul was there in Ephesus, he did a lot of diaper changing. And he left Timothy in Ephesus to continue leading that church, and he wrote him two letters, keep changing diapers. That's a Lloyd paraphrase, okay? But if you look at those letters, the reason Paul wrote to Timothy is because Timothy said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to bail. I just want to leave. I want to quit. I want to throw in the diaper, throw in the towel, whatever. And Paul said, don't you dare leave. Endure. Work it through. Work it out. Stay put. And we thank God that Timothy did. So he stayed there to help the church stay focused and to help that church grow out of the diaper phase, which brings us to this section. New Christians need to walk. And I showed you last week, as we talked about, before children, little ones are able to walk, you need to tote them around. You need to haul them around. And I think I showed you this picture of this Wunda chair system that Joanne and I bought. I can't believe we bought this. But you see, it's a convertible system. It's got all these things that snap and click and bind and stay together in some way so that you have a rocking chair and you have a little bassinet and you have a high chair and you have a stroller and you have a car seat and all those kind of things. Listen, if you're thinking about buying something like this, don't. Don't. It's one of the two major regrets I have in my life. The other regret was selling my 67 Mustang convertible. I should have held that car, okay? This, I can go without this. This was insane. Anyway, we thought it was wonderful at the time. Made us wonder why we bought it. But here's Paul's journey about how he needed to learn how to walk. Just because he was a strong unbeliever, a religious man, doesn't mean that when he was converted that he was spiritually mature. He was not. He had a lot of information in his head, but his heart wasn't ready yet. So he depended on others to disciple him, to help him learn how to grow spiritually before he could run. I mentioned last week, before they let Paul run, they had to first teach him how to walk. So he said, Saul, this is the man who eventually became the Apostle Paul. Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. And so I'm showing you an abbreviated timeline of Paul's spiritual progress. And after he was converted, after he trusted Christ as his Savior, there were those, he was growing stronger because of his relationship with those in the church of which he was a part. He continues on writing the next phase in his spiritual growth and development is this. When God called me by his grace, I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. So he went to different places. On this particular part of his spiritual journey, he was alone in what is now called Petra in Jordan, where Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade was filmed. They ride those horses into that big stone structure We've been there a couple of times, and it's a small room inside, by the way. It's not at all what Hollywood says it's like. But this is where the Apostle Paul went, not necessarily inside that building, but to that location. And that's where he learned some more. It's kind of like he went to seminary. He spent 3 years there. We also read Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time, so he came back to Damascus, spent more time with people that were teaching him. And then he said, after 3 years in Arabia and Damascus, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas. Now, Cephas is also Peter. And I stayed with him 15 days. Why is the Apostle Paul doing this? Because he's learning. He's learning how to walk as a Christian. He had a real strong understanding and knowledge of the scriptures, but he didn't know how to walk with his Savior yet. The day by day, step by step, moment by moment relationship. That's what we mean by the Christian walk. It is your spiritual journey toward maturity. And Paul is explaining and reminding his readers or helping them understand maybe for the first time, this is a part of my journey. This is how God helped me to become who I am. And it was all about time alone with God and time with other Christians who are more mature than the Apostle Paul. And so we move on then to the next part, and I think this is new now for us. Growing Christians need to talk. Now, walking and talking sometimes happens simultaneously with Christians, with physical babies, but we're just going to look at this as a separate point. Growing Christians need to talk. They need to understand biblical terminology and language and know how to communicate spiritual truths in a clear way, so that those with whom they are speaking about Jesus can understand what is being said. We've talked about that a little bit already in this series, and you can go back and listen to that by going back to the website or iTunes and listening to the other messages in this series. But notice this. In Acts chapter 18, verse 26, Luke, who wrote this book, is writing about a man named Apollos. And he says, after Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos preaching, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. Now, it's not that Apollos got it wrong, but Apollos could do better. And so he knows how to communicate, but he recognizes there's room for improvement. So did Priscilla and Aquila. And they loved this man enough, they were sensitive enough, they were caring enough, compassionate enough to go to him directly and speak to him face to face and say, we see some room in your life and in your ministry where you can improve. And so they took him aside and they trained him how to be more effective in what he is doing. And so Apollos himself was humble enough and he was godly enough to say, tell me more. So let me read to you how that episode worked out. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26, I'm on page 985. It starts this way. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native Alexandrian, which means he was Egyptian, Alexandria, Egypt, an eloquent man who was competent in the use of the scriptures, arrived in Ephesus. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately about Jesus, although he knew only of John's baptism. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue after Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. And so he had some of the basics down, and he was very good in what he was doing, but there were some pieces that were missing in his presentation, so to speak. He needed to round out and to fill out the content of his teaching and his preaching ministry. So those who knew what he was missing pulled him aside and helped him to understand more of what he needed to be saying in order for the message to be complete and full. So growing Christians need to talk. We need to constantly learn how to do what we're doing in a better way. I'm constantly learning all the time how to do this better, what I'm doing right now. And every other aspect and dimension of my life, in my ministry, my relationship with Joanne, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my grandchildren, my relationship with you, my relationship with the leaders here at West Hill Church, my relationship with non-believers. There's so much more to learn all the time. And we're just going to encourage you to continue to do that. And that's what growing Christians need. Notice we've transitioned over instead of baby Christians to growing Christians, or new Christians to growing Christians. This is a mark of maturity, learning and developing what you already know, building on what you already know. Number six, growing Christians need to reproduce. Growing Christians need to reproduce. Do you know babies don't make babies? Grown-ups make babies. Babies can't care for babies. They're not physically ready to start reproducing. Even people who are old enough are not ready. And so you need to be careful to make sure that they're ready before they start reproducing. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Before I read that, let me just back it up just a little bit. 2 weeks ago, Pastor David, when he started his series in 1 Thessalonians, talked about how the Apostle Paul went to Thessalonica on one of his missionary journeys and preached, presented the gospel. Some were persuaded. Some believed. Not everybody did. Some did. And the few that did, the Apostle Paul met with them, spent 3 weeks with them planting a church, and then he moved on. So he spent 3 weeks with them establishing a new church in Thessalonica. That small, young church became an example to the other churches in that region. Notice this, Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 4. They, Paul and Luke and the others on their missionary team, came to Thessalonica. Some of them were persuaded, some who heard them teaching and preaching were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas and Luke and others, including a large number of God-fearing Greeks, as well as a number of the leading women. And so here's a map for you. You notice you can see the boot of Italy and the Mediterranean Sea. And down below, you can see the, the church was growing. Let me back up here, I'm sorry. There, Egypt, Israel, anyway, Thessalonica. We read later on in this verse here, you became, just make sure I've got that right. I apologize. Still learning how to do this. All right. You know what kind of men we proved to be examples for your sake. I apologize. Thessalonica. There we go. So they were an example, Paul and Silas were an example to the people in Thessalonica, and then they, the church in Thessalonica, began to become an example as they imitated Paul and Silas. As Paul showed them what it's like to be a mature Christian, the church in Thessalonica followed the Apostle Paul's example. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to come back to it again in just a moment. Could you do the same thing that the Apostle Paul is doing with this early church? Could you say with a clear conscience, if you want to know what a mature Christian looks like, hang out with me and I'll show you. Follow my example and you will be following the example of Christ, because I'm following the example of Christ. And if you see me in the way that I'm living my spirituality, you'll see the way that Jesus wants it to be, because I'm doing what Jesus would do. So I just want to ask you that question. Are you the kind of example that a new Christian needs, or even a growing Christian? Could you with comfort and confidence say, do what I do, be what I am, and you will be a strong Christian? I remember at our 20th anniversary for a church, our 20th birthday, we did a banquet. And we were gathered at a place, and we were talking, and we talked about the history of our church, and I made a comment. I said to the church at that point, if you want to know what a Christian godly marriage looks like, watch Joanne and me. If you want to know what a Christian family looks like, watch Joanne and me with our children. I said, you will not see perfection, but you'll see us fix what's broken. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said, Dan, are you crazy for saying something like that? And I said, what are you talking about? He says, do you realize how much you've opened yourself up for vulnerability because you made those kind of comments? And I said, yes. But what else am I going to do? Say, you know, watch somebody else. Watch somebody else. The next day, I was faced with the most difficult temptation of my life. and it could have destroyed my marriage and my family and my ministry. And so this person that warned me about what I had said was right. I wasn't crazy, though. But I did face a very strong temptation, and with the help of my wife and the men here at this church and other pastors I'm working with, I made it through that temptation. People are thinking, Dan, are you crazy talking about this even now? No, I'm not. Because I want you to follow my example. And I want other people to follow your example. And we should be able to do that with confidence and conviction and clarity about that, yes, we are where God wants us to be. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. Not one of us is. We say this often here at West Hill Church. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. As long as you're growing. We prayed about some things this morning as elders. And if we make mistakes, if we fail, it's only a failure if we don't learn from it. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. But if we learn from it, then we're growing. But if we don't learn from it, that's the failure. Anyway, let's move on. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You became, notice this, you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, where is Macedonia and Achaia? Just to the north and just to the south of Thessalonica. These are geographical regions in northern Greece and southern Greece. This small, young church is having an influence way beyond its city boundaries and borders, way beyond the city walls. They're influencing churches in other regions. And here are the churches we read about in the book of Acts. Philippi, Berea, Corinth, Athens, and Cenchrea. This small, young church in Thessalonica is an example to these other believers of what it means to follow Christ. Now, how did they become that kind of an example? They followed the example of the Apostle Paul. How did Paul know how to do it? He followed the example of Jesus Christ and of the others who mentored him, the others who discipled him. This is the pattern we find from cover to cover in the scriptures about spiritual growth and development. We cannot do it alone. We can't. We need each other. That's why the Bible says that we are a body. You can cut off your finger and it can sit on the table and it's not going to do anything anymore because it's disconnected from the rest of the body and you're going to hurt. And you're going to be limited in what you can do now because you're missing that finger. But if you can reattach that finger again becomes functional and you can start doing eventually, hopefully, things you used to be able to do with that finger. And so if any one of us is severed, we're going to hurt. And you're not going to be able to function the way that you need to be functioning in terms of how God wants you to be living and the impact he wants you to make. Notice this. We continue on to read about the church there in Thessalonica. And he says, Macedonia, now who were influenced by Thessalonica, Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Notice this. The Apostle Paul is writing to whom? The Romans. He's writing to Christians in Italy about the difference that these churches in Macedonia and Achaia had made because of the difference that the Thessalonians had made. So now the impact from this young church is multiplied and it's affecting generations of other churches. And their influence is not only restricted up into the northern part of Greece, but it's all over the known world. It's all over the Mediterranean at that time. Because they were faithful and they were focused. And they knew what to do. They knew how to think. They knew how to speak. They knew how to walk. And they were doing that. And it had a huge impact on so many churches and so many people around the known world. So the Macedonians now, impacted by the Thessalonians, were now an example to the Romans and to those in Jerusalem. So multiple generations, it continues to grow and spread. This is essentially how the gospel came to Auburn, Washington, of all places, because people were faithful. They followed the example of their predecessors, and they learned how to be faithful in sharing the gospel and bringing Christ to new communities. And that mission is not over. We're still working on this, and we're still doing this. So the question I'm going to ask this is this, because we're talking about spiritual growth and development. If you feel stagnant or stalled in your relationship with Christ, in your spiritual growth, in your spiritual development, these are some things we looked at last week. Ask yourself, how am I doing in these different areas in my life? Notice, as I said last week, I didn't say attend a worship service. It says participate. That means sing. It means give. It means pray. It means engage, think, ponder, reflect, look to ways to apply what you're learning. Talk to people when you're here. It's okay to do that. There's all sorts of ways that we participate when we worship. It's not just a spectator sport. We want everybody engaged at some level in some way. Join a Sunday school class. We have them for all ages in both hours. Be a part of a small group Bible study. Again, it's the best way to give and receive care. For you to ask questions about the Bible, to dialogue, to interact, to build relationships, to be prayed for, to pray for others, to find support through life's transitions. Anybody not in transition? Come on. We all are. We're all in transition. Or you can meet one-on-one to talk with people about spiritual things. We have not only a staff here at West Hill Church, but Pastor David has trained a handful of people who are prepared to spend time with you one-on-one if you'd like to talk about and pray about some spiritual things. We're committed to helping you in that way. So here's the point. Changed lives change lives. And if your life is changed because of Jesus Christ, you have an assignment from him to change lives. To go and do what? Make disciples. Help people find Jesus. Help people follow Jesus. And wherever you are on your spiritual spectrum, you have something to learn. You have something to give. Just like I have more things to learn, I have more things to give. We all do. We're all on that same spiritual spectrum, but we're at different places, and that's okay. That's what marks a healthy church. That's what helps to build and grow the next generation of believers, people of all ages, all over that spiritual spectrum. And if you're not moving forward, if you're not growing and becoming stronger in Christ, let me just tell you this, something's wrong, because it's not normal. There would be something wrong with me when I was 5 years old if I never got beyond my five-year-old vocabulary, my five-year-old physical stature, my five-year-old ability to walk and talk and run and all those kinds of things. Something would be wrong if I never got beyond 5 years old in my growth and development. And something would be wrong if I was not growing intellectually and spiritually. I grow in other ways too, but I'm not going to go there. Where I'm at right now, some ways I need to shrink. Okay, but we're all in process. We're all moving. We should all be moving forward. Okay, if you want help with that, you need help with that, take a blue card, just write GROW. Give us your contact information. We'll follow up with you. If you want to help with that Sunday school class, let me know. If you want to be baptized, let me know. If you want to help cook breakfast on Easter morning, let us know. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to consider what new Christians need, what we should expect from them. We don't expect them to act like mature Christians. We expect them to have a lot of questions, a lot of needs, that they would require a lot of time in the same way that physical little ones become a part of our biological families. There are expectations that not only new Christians, but Christians of every age, wherever they are on the growth spectrum, have of us to be able to pray together, learn together, talk together, support one another, challenge one another, to hold each other accountable, to be friends, to worship together, to play together, all these different kinds of things. These are all the components that will make a healthy spiritual family. And we're scattered across the spectrum. That's okay. Because it means that there are people that are new to the faith and growing in the faith, and people who have been down the road a while and are more mature in their relationship with Jesus. But we all need to be growing, all need to be advancing, and we all need each other for that to happen. So God, help that to be a part of our spiritual DNA here at West Hill Church. And I pray In Jesus' name, amen.